Hola.
Jammer's here to save the day.
Bum, 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 bum.
In case you're wondering, Jammer, this was me masturbating 2 men at the same time.
That reminds me of that one Mad TV skit. There was a Mad TV skit where the guy was in a green screen suit and he was doing motion capture for a video game. And they were like, all right, you have two daggers and you have, you have monsters on all sides of you. So go ahead and stab them. And he started doing that. And like, yeah, now you have blood all over your face. Wipe your face off and stuff. And that was probably from like 2010 or something. Back when Mad TV, I guess, was a thing. How long has that been gone?
Is it still on? It's not still on, is it? Mm-mm. It was on no for, way. I don't know. Jordan, Kia, and Peele came from Mad TV.
Did they? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Oh, I knew that obviously now, but I learned that later. I'm like, I don't even remember them. I just remember the lead guy that was kind of popular and like got like
Which
one chance in a movie. What?
Which guy?
I don't know. Ooh. There was one guy who was always the most, like, dressed like a baby. I don't know anyone's name from that show.
Will Sasso? Was that who that was?
Maybe. I don't remember. He was the only one anyone really cared about. I remember back when it was on. Like, did you see the latest sketch of him as a baby? Or I can't even picture.
Oh, Stewie.
Maybe. Must be. He looks kind of like Will Ferrell in my memory. That's all I can pull up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not even close to Will Sasso.
I know who Will Sasso is now, actually, too.
Was he on Mad TV?
I don't remember if he was. I remember him. The most recent thing I've seen him in is Super Troopers 2. He's like one of the Canadian Mounties.
Who was he in? Yeah, he was from Mad TV from 97 to 2002.
It's probably the entire run, if I had to guess.
That was not the entire run. That show was around for a long time, I think. Let's see here.
Have you heard of Mad TV, Danny?
No idea.
It's a sketch group. That's not SNL, it lasted but was 15, always trying to be
15
SNL.
Seasons. 15 Damn. Seasons. So it went from 95 to 2016.
And it takes its title from Mad Magazine. Have you heard of that?
Yes. Okay. I've heard of Mad Magazine. I've never read a copy or seen a copy, but I have heard of it.
Oh, yeah, it's just using the same name brand to be like, these are weird, ridiculous sketches, just like our parodies.
What's it called? Mad TV, did you say?
Yeah, I'd look it up, but not watch very much of it.
It was less political.
No, I was going to see if I recognized the logo or something. No.
It was on the WB back in the day or something. Maybe Fox.
WB. I don't even know if it was on WB. I don't think it was. I think it was Fox.
You think it was Fox? All right. Anyway, did you look at the news stories, Jammer?
I know the stories. I have not looked at the trailers yet, which I was going to do. I came straight from downtown Denver.
I think you're
back.
Fine. The Hawkeye trailer really has very little new footage. In fact, I'll tell our audience right now. It basically has a few shots. Like one of the shots is like, people show up and he's like, you should have brought more or something. And then more get out of the truck and he's like, nope, never mind. And they add a line when he's handing her the dangerous arrows. They add a line where she's like, I can't believe you're out of your regular arrows. And he's like, I got trick arrows. She's like, trick arrows? I think that was the extent of it, right, Danny? The new trailer.
Yeah, that's it. I don't think there was any new footage. It might have been from a different shot or something, but I don't recall any new footage. Although there was some more of the Captain America
the musical
show. That looks like a lot of fun. And then
Steve the musical.
That's it.
No, it's Rogers. Is it Steve or is it Rogers?
Rogers.
It's not Captain America. Rogers. Yeah.
And Hawkeye's in the audience and he's giving that look of what the fuck is this?
When the actor playing Thor puts his hammer like straight up in the air.
But we don't see the actor playing Hawkeye yet, do we?
That'll be a treat. It might be a little confrontation.
I wonder if he's going to be like really like there's probably going to be a third wall break in like, I can't believe you didn't die during Ultron or something. Ultron's invasion.
What if
they just reference it that, well, he's not in it. We didn't bother putting him in this one.
He's not important enough Avenger or something. Or you get a A-list cameo. Like how
Matt Damon showed up for Ragnarok.
Like you get like someone closer to hit like hell. You get like Tom Cruise. That's why I would cast as Hawkeye for some reason.
Tom Cruise
in a musical.
That would be pretty good though. I would be on board with that.
But yeah, that's obviously not gonna be a star that size. It'll be funny to see like an A-list actor.
It's not
just
obvious.
There for
it could
20
be.
Seconds.
It could be a star that size.
I'm just saying it's obviously not gonna be Tom Cruise.
It could be. You don't know.
If he's a Marvel fan, why not? That might be his in. He could now say he's been in a Marvel series, but he's been the MCU.
He'd be like a
fan. It was a fucking Tropic Thunder. He could be in the MCU.
That's true. He would insist on doing some crazy Hawkeye stunt for real during the musical.
That'd be funny.
Shooting arrows sideways while falling in slow motion.
The backwards fall.
And then yeah, I looked at the trailer. It basically is the same thing.
Yeah.
Same feeling.
Scream. Anyone? We probably don't really need to look at Scream either.
Are we going to talk about the news story or? Let me talk about the news story, Nick.
Well, first of all, welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the official international premiere podcast of LRMonline.com.
Stop it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the official and premier podcast of LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Network. I am one of your hosts, Joseph Jaron Medina, here today with Nicholas Dahl.
Hello.
And Mr. Daniel Bartlett.
Good evening, good morning, or if it's too late where you are, good night.
Oh, thank you, Truman. I appreciate that. But yeah, so we're talking Hawkeye a bit, and I know some people really loved the trailer, the last one. I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. But I also know there's some people who are kind of like, underwhelmed by it. Where do you guys stand on it? Danny, apparently you love it as well. Nick, I forgot your opinions.
I love it so much that it could. It's not... Like, originally when it was announced, I'm like, I'll enjoy it, but there's no way this could be as good as Loki or WandaVision or any of those. But after seeing the trailer, I'm like, this could be more enjoyable than those shows, even.
Maybe. It kind of feels more in the vein of something like Die Hard.
Or Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon set around Christmas. Lethal Weapon and Die Hard both set at Christmas. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. With a kid. Or not a kid, but 20-something.
Yeah, with a younger guy and a guy who's too old for that shit. I hope we get some good Lethal Weapon references.
I hope not. And
did you see at the end of the trailer?
My dog.
Oh, I thought that was your chair, and I'm like, stop moving.
That's my dog. He's chewing. I remember. I promised that we wouldn't actually get a squeaky toy for our dog, but they don't label that shit. So now he has squeaky toys.
You don't try it out.
Well, there was one that was actually like a stump, and I had a bunch of little animals inside of it, so he can kind of fish them out.
Oh,
and that you squeak. And those are squeaky. And we didn't test them beforehand. So
well, I was going to add one other thing about the trailer. Did you watch the announcement at the end where they're going to air two episodes the first week? That's news we didn't know.
Did not know that. So two episodes the first week?
And then one episode a week after that.
That's smart. I like it.
Yeah, I like it when The Boys does that, especially in the second season, because in the first season, The Boys was all dropped at once. So they were like, we don't want to do one a week, so we'll give you three the first week, and everyone still flipped out and started like review bombing it on Amazon because they're like, we don't want to watch this weekly. We like, it's crazy.
If that's you, I don't like you. Just throwing that out there. Audience.
It wasn't me.
No, I'm not saying it was you. I'm talking to audience. Don't be that person. Just please don't be that person. Let us keep shows in the zeitgeist for longer than a week. That would be great.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, when we get to our topic of the day, Squid Game is a show, one of the few Netflix shows to have a lasting impact.
Did you finish it, Jamma?
I did.
Cool.
Yeah, we're finish it.
We'll do full spoilers at the end of the show then, if you two gentlemen don't mind.
But yeah, I'm excited for Hawkeye. Like you said, Lethal Weapon feel to it. I'm really excited. I don't expect it to be groundbreaking, mm-mm, but I expect it to just be fun. Really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a shot of his wife in this trailer too.
I don't remember her in the last one. I think
she's in this trailer.
Who?
Yeah, in the first trailer, I think we had questions about where was his wife. And now we know that she's actually alive and well and clearly in communication with him. And it seemed to be in good communication, too. It didn't seem like it was a strained, certainly not for that little clip we got. Because one of the things we thought that possibly could be that their relationship was strained because of everything he went through as Ronin, et cetera, et cetera. But the short clip that she's in, it looks like she's quite, say, happy. It's not, I don't get that impression at all. There's a very small moment, a very small line, but I get the impression that they're in communication and they're quite happy together still. So.
And at first, I thought it was going to turn into a Spider-Man thing, where it's like he's missing everything important. What's Jammer? Why is Jammer choking on his food?
No, I just imagine him going like, oh, I can't shoot arrows anymore.
No, like no, no. Yeah. No, I was thinking.
Like he fires the bow and the arrow just doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there. He's like, damn it. And then he hits the ground.
Like Spider-Man 2.
Turned into a stormtrooper and can't hit shit.
No, all I meant was like, what did I? Oh, you know how like Spider-Man's always disappointing people and you can't tell them why? Like, oh, you're missing class. This one, at least his wife knows why he's going to be late for Christmas. He's a fucking Avenger.
I'll be home for Christmas.
What?
He's doing I'll be home for Christmas.
This is a remake of the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie that they made back in like the late 90s. I think it was called I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Did you know that Jonathan Taylor Thomas grew up and changed his name to Jeremy Renner?
Yeah, I did know that. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Really insane.
I have no idea what happened to that kid. Well, he wouldn't be a kid anymore.
He retired on his piles of money and is probably living his best life. That's what happened. Good for you, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I approve. Well, speaking of approve, what did you think of the Scream trailer?
Did you guys watch it?
No.
Yep.
It's fine. It's like the fourth one. I don't know how it works.
Who hasn't seen it? What is the tone of this one?
The same. They're very consistent on the tone.
So it's scary, but also tongue in cheek.
Yeah. This time, David Arquette's character starts talking about the rules of horror movies in it, since we don't have Jamie Kennedy around anymore.
We don't? Is he dead?
He died in an earlier movie.
Character is
not the actor.
Oh, his character. Oh, I was like, what? And I don't know the Scream movies nearly well enough to know whether or not he died, because I don't remember who dies in those movies.
I love the first two.
Other than Drew Barrymore dying at the first 10 minutes of the first one, but...
It's interesting. It looks just like the fourth, as far as like, I don't know how they're going to work it into the adult generation. I don't even remember how they did it the fourth one. Like,
oh, yeah, there was a fourth one. I don't remember. And then there was a series.
Now, I've never seen the series because it's not continuity.
Yeah, I think it was on MTV, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're right. I've only seen the movies, and the first two are something I watch every October.
I saw the first three movies. Never saw the fourth one.
No, me neither.
If you never saw the fourth, there's nothing in the fifth trailer that would make you want to see it more than you didn't see the fourth. Except for Jack Quaid, one of my favorite actors right now.
Who's Jack Quaid?
He is in The Boys. He's the main character.
Okay.
And then on Star Trek Lower Decks, he voices the main character. So I follow him on Twitter, and I enjoy seeing his excitement over things. I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll watch it for him alone, especially with my Alamo Drafthouse movie pass. Yeah, it's a January release.
Keep on pushing the Alamo Drafthouse. Keep on doing it.
Which is
a great deal. I need
Jonesy is the only person I know who shredded.
Explain what it is. Explain what it is, because I don't think everyone knows what that is.
The theater or the...
The Alamo Drafthouse pass thing.
$20 a month. You get one movie a day if you want for free. So
I mean, it's not for free. It's for $20.
Well, yeah, but like I bought the day after I saw Bond, and my Bond ticket cost $19, because it was the big show. There is an upcharge for the big show in 3D of like $1, and you still have to pay online fees. But you get 7 days in advance of everyone else to buy tickets. So like this week, if you want Eternals tickets, only MoviePass people can get them this week at Alamo Drafthouse.
That's a deal, folks.
So yeah, if you see two movies a month, you've more than paid for it.
Nice. So Scream's a no-go?
I was not. Yeah, it looked the same as the others. I haven't seen number four. This doesn't make me want to see this one. And I don't know why it's not called five if it's got all the same characters in it.
I hate that shit. It's like Halloween.
No, I don't mind it. I don't mind it because it's clear what they're trying to do. They don't want to make younger audiences, who, let's be real, are the target because they're trying to start a new thing. They don't want to make it seem like you have to watch the past four movies.
Maybe that's why that must be why, because Scream 4 was supposed to start a whole new trilogy, but this looks like none of the Scream 4 characters are returning, and they're starting with a whole new group of younger kids, including Jack Quaid.
Is he a kid?
Well, you know, younger people. They're not always high schoolers either.
Jack Quaid is what, 30?
Probably.
You're all young compared to me.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Like Jack Quaid's probably my age, but he can play younger than he looks. I wouldn't make him a high schooler either.
No, I wouldn't either.
And I have a terrible feeling he's going to have this based on the trailer. They say the trailer doesn't spoil everything or anything, and you're like, you're reading it long. I have a horrible feeling after the trailer that he won't be around very long in the movie. The most interesting part of the trailer is that they make a big deal that everyone's using cell phones.
Okay, explain.
Like, you know, they repeat the opening sequence with Drew Barrymore, only it's a person on her cell phone. And I forgot and Ghostface has some kind of special app or something. You know, it's like all very much we're not using the same shit we used to use. So the idea of Ghostface using a phone, he can do more than just call someone. I don't think
he has.
Yeah, you can text. You can send
TikTok. TikTok the murder.
Exactly. Much easier to film the murder and put it out too.
We got to see the theory about whether or not Apple allows bad people to use their products.
Actually, can we talk about this?
Whoever's holding the Samsung phone is the one that is the murderer. Whoever's holding the Nokia, he's the killer. Or she.
Can we talk about that though? Like, how that'd be kind of cool is like someone TikToking the murder or something and having that go viral. Is that what happens?
I don't know. It's not in the trailer, but I was thinking that would be a cool way to bring in cell phones and current technology. They kind of avoided it in Scream 4. Like, it was there, but this trailer seems to emphasize the new technology that we have in our pockets that we didn't have in our pockets. I guess the last one came out when the iPhone was brand new, so...
2011. It wasn't brand new. It was 4 years old, but it definitely is different from how it is. It's not the juggernaut it is today.
No. And they didn't even have apps on the first iPhone. So, I mean, it came with apps. You couldn't download them. So, yeah, it's about that's the main thing I noted about it. And, of course, all the original cast is back because they're all alive. The main characters. Sydney, David Arquette's character, What's-Her-Face's character. I think that's it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. What's-Her-Face's character?
Very. I can't remember her name. The chick from Friends.
Oh, Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox's character, David Arquette's character, and then Sydney.
I always remember that episode of Friends where they first introduced her as Courtney Cox Arquette. And in the opening credits, they had everyone's last name Arquette at the end. It's like Jennifer Aniston Arquette, Matt LeBlanc Arquette. Great show. If you haven't watched Friends, watch Friends. Jonesy's not here to fucking naysay about it. It is a great show. You've never watched it all the way through.
I've seen a few episodes. That's enough to judge a show.
How much have you watched of it?
More than three over the years.
More than three seasons?
No, episodes.
No. Nicholas Dahl.
Friends ain't for me. I like Seinfeld, which is the contemporary.
That doesn't mean they're not mutually exclusive. They're not. I'm a Seinfeld guy. We're a Seinfeld family, not a Friends family.
We are. And this house, is a Seinfeld out of here, curb Nick. House.
Get the fuck out of here. You could be all three of those things.
No, I've watched Friends a little bit, enough of it to know it's not
my... You just said three episodes.
We watch an episode before, at least three, which is the rule we use anyway.
But that's a different... I feel like it's different for sitcoms. Sitcoms, because they're so not serialized, it's like, you kind
of
have to, like...
the humor of a show.
You have to steep yourself a bit, which is why I usually give comedies 6 to 8 episodes before I decide, because you have to, like, adjust your mind to the comedy style, which is why I did it for Schitt's Creek, which I don't like, which is why I did it for Community, which I don't
like. Schitt's Creek?
It's
like the opposite of the other shows. That's a feel-good show compared to Sunny.
I couldn't get into it. I just didn't...
I did it during the pandemic.
I could look at it and be like, okay, clearly this show is something for people. It's not for me. But for I gave it a shot.
My cat actually gave it a more. Shot.
What's that?
My cat actually enjoys it more than people.
Oh, probably. I don't.
You said it was for other people. I don't know. You said it's for people. You didn't even say other people. You're like, it's not for me, but it's for people.
It's for people. People can, you know, they can like it. I'm not one of them. But yeah, what were we talking about? What was the story?
We were on Scream and we somehow got then we got to Friends and then we got to shows you've tried out for more than 6 episodes.
One story I do want to talk about that I think is pretty cool is this comes from Oricon News, a Japanese outlet. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we were talking about Star Wars Visions. I think we all mostly agreed that The Ninth Jedi was the strongest showing from the Disney Plus animated series. And according to Oricon, director Kenji Kamiya says he would love to continue the tale, and his team, the team began in the short, saying that they have the entire story mapped out. And he would see an interview said he wanted to make a Star Wars work that he would want to see as a fan. And it sounds like he's thinking in terms of features, not series. Like he would think of like a feature film.
It sounds like he wants to do a feature of this.
I would watch it a fucking feature animated film of this. Like I was thinking animated series, but if there was actually like a Star Wars movie that was anime, oh my God, all over that. And plus,
isn't that what he says in there? He's like, I got a story built out for a feature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Found it. Yep.
At first, I was like, oh, he wants to do live action? How is that going to fit in canon? I'm like, no, of course it would also be anime. Why the hell would they make a live action?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. I would love that. Because I think we all said that we wanted to see more of this story. We want to see how it turns out. And this is the way to do it. Like, I'm on board. Disney, get behind this. You have a talent in Kenji Kamiya. And I want to see this realized. What about you, Danny, as someone who doesn't like anime? I don't know if you did you watch this one by chance?
No, I haven't got through to it yet. And that's I'm glad you mentioned it tonight, actually, because it absolutely, as sad as it makes me sound now, I actually completely forgot about Visions. I got back into catching up with the Marvel shows and then Ted Lasso and then the morning show. And fuck, if you just reminded me that I wasn't caught up with these ones. So I will watch it. You guys did talk about it being the favorite one that you had seen. I'd only seen the first three episodes at that point, but I will check this out now.
I haven't seen it.
But I'm not
yet.
An anime fan, so I just hope that I like this episode and it is one of the anime shows that actually might change my mind. I hope so, because I love Star Wars. I don't want to hate this just because it's fucking anime.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to get to it eventually. I just, it wasn't a priority like The Mandalorian each week where I'm like, oh no, they'll spoil it if I don't watch it before I hop on Twitter, for Christ's sakes. So yeah. I feel like I have time with that show to wait until I'm in really good mood for Star Wars and then put it on.
If you're hesitant about anime, I'd say it's the, that's the easiest one. That goes down the easiest. There's okay, a lot of great world building stuff in there. Ninth Jedi.
Well, that's
yeah,
what I was
favorite.
About to ask you, Jammer, what you thought about it, being an anime fan, how it compares to the anime shows that you like and you watch. Because
I mean,
the ones that you like, I don't like. So if you really like this one, we might be fucked.
What have you, what anime shows have you watched that I like?
I haven't watched hardly any. I've watched about two or three episodes. I've never got that hard, never got that far into them. The last one was that one we did for the show. What was it?
Madoka.
I don't know. 700 episodes of it or whatever it was. Magic Madoka. No, I don't
Madoka.
Know.
Madoka. That was 700. It's a 12 episode yeah, show.
It. Was it? I got
it's 12 episodes. Movies. It's 12 episodes. What are you on, man? And it's a great show.
So how does it compare? Jokes aside, how does
it's
it compare?
Nothing it's completely different. It's a completely different.
Is it really?
It's like
yeah,
two genres, different. Basically, because anime
it's, yeah, it's
genre.
two different genres. One's like a dark magical girl fantasy. The other one is like a space opera high fantasy hero's journey.
Okay. But it's more, I think for me, it's the animation style that I'm having trouble with, Jam.
I think you just need to, you need to put on your big boy pants and get over the animation style and just, you know, appreciate a story for its strength. That's what I think.
Okay, I'll try it. Well, I'll certainly try because it's Star Wars. I'm still not going back to those other anime shows, but I'll try this one.
That's
Star
fine.
Wars.
I mean, yep. It's I liked it. I don't think it's like amazing, but I really liked it. I thought it was fun. Okay. Very cool. Straightforward.
Oh, I wish I remembered the specifics. I saw an article. This is going to be like the worst news story ever because I don't know the specifics. And I went to tag Jammer the minute I saw it, but some character, I think it's a Marvel or a DC character, it's a character that exists in comics, is getting its first manga. Is that what they're called?
Manga.
I always call it like mango or manga. Yeah. I wish I remembered who it was, but it's like some character who's never been in that format. It might even be Spider-Man or something, but, you know, literally not made in the U.S. to look like it, but it's being done in Japan.
Let's see here. I mean, there have been others in the past that have gotten both anime or either anime or manga adaptation. I try to Google it. I don't see any.
Yeah.
Anything about
I'm sure
that?
More specifics. Somewhere it's on my Twitter feed, people. I'm sure I retweeted it.
Good for you. Okay, cool. So moving on from that story, another great one that is quite interesting comes courtesy of Mr. Tom Holland, who is talking Star Wars, or not Star Wars, talking
He's
Spider-Man.
He's talking Star Wars.
Spider-Man. So he talked a little bit about Alfred Molina working with him, saying, or actually it's not him, but the article saying Holland, who didn't start slinging webs until 2016, couldn't help but geek over the veteran Molina, calling him one of my favorite people I've worked with. It was really fun to watch him see how technology has advanced. And he was making these films, the arms were puppets, and we did it. They're all imaginary and CG. It was quite cool to see him relive it, but also to relearn it. No Way Home. Oh, no, I can take it. Turn off the voice now. No Way Home marks Holland's third solo Spidey appearance.
Well, that's the first part of the story is the arms. The second part's the
okay.
story.
All right, let's talk about the arms then. So how do you I think it's cool that they're doing arms because when I think of Marvel movies, I tend to think of like green screen central and then everything around them is just fake or plates or whatever. And the fact that when they use prosthetics or practical types things as much as possible, it does add something to it. And I guess I'm curious of how much there probably isn't really much, but I'm curious if there's any sort of crossover between like I don't know why I'm even thinking this. Sam Raimi, like, giving some sort of input to John Watts on stuff because of, you know, Spider-Man 3 about how he did things. So I guess that makes sense. And hopefully that being retained a little.
He's saying they're not using the arms this time. That's what I found interesting about the quote.
What?
It says we're doing them CG this time. But you spent day. So they are fully CG, which is slightly disappointing.
I was so focused on my accent that I didn't really actually take in what he was saying completely.
And they look great in the trailer. The few clomps we see from them, but they were so well, they were like four different personalities and they were all like puppets, like you know, they had like five, like three or two puppeteers on like every arm, like give them emotion and stuff. And then, you know, some scenes it was obviously CGI, but even then they would lift Alfred Molina up and then CGI the arms on the ground and like move him on ropes like he's actually. So this is, yeah, this is back to, this is more current MCU. It's cheaper and easier, so we're going to CGI the arms. And but they probably look great these days in CGI. Just,
I mean, they probably look good enough.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the movie had a special feel by them being animatronic last time. Like he could really act with them really well, but he's
awful. Well, he was a good actor. He can act no matter what.
That's true.
Talking shit.
True.
So, any thoughts about that, Daniel?
No, I got nothing. I'm more interested about the next bit of this story. This is the bit that interests me more.
No Way Home marks Holland's third solo Spidey appearance, and story-wise, the actor calls it a conclusion to his trilogy, wrapping up the narrative he and Watts first introduced in 2017's Homecoming. We were all treating No Way Home as the end of the franchise, let's say, he adds. I think if we were lucky enough to dive into these characters again, you'd be seeing a very different version. It would no longer be the Homecoming trilogy. We would give it some time and try to build something different and totally tonally change the films. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But we were definitely treating No Way Home like it was coming to an end, and it felt like it. Bum, bum.
It's interesting he said franchise, not just trilogy. He says trilogy in the sentence also.
I mean, I think it makes sense. Like, I don't think this is the last we'll be seeing of him as Spider-Man.
Don't
but
tell
I do
Kyle
think
that.
That
he'll disagree. The last time we'll see him in the MCU is what Kyle would say.
But yeah. But as far as the actual, this is the trilogy. This is the had that sort of happy high school John Hughes type feel. That's this. Now that, you know, maybe a few years will pass, 2 to 3 years or something, they'll have a new one. It'll be he's older. They'll change up the tone and they'll make it something else unique that makes it stand out from the previous one. So
college
I think
years,
have,
probably.
Right. They're giving an opportunity for this character that they have never had before, really, that they could actually show the character in age, different age stages, which is not really a term, but as opposed to like Iron Man, he's just an adult. So it's, I think it's a great opportunity. I think it makes perfect sense. I don't think this is the last time we'll see Holland, but it will be the end of an era, as then, as one Rachel Green would say from the show Friends.
Which you should watch.
The end of an era.
And then we know John Watts is staying with Marvel. He's doing Fantastic Four, which also seems like a perfect fit tonally.
So who would you get to helm a new Spidey trilogy? That's a question. And what kind of direction tonally would you like to see it go in?
Wow.
Zack Snyder. I'm just kidding. I won't even say Raimi, even though I like his movies. I think it's time for a new...
Vision. I agree. I don't think anyone's saying Raimi. Raimi's too busy.
Well, that would
Strange
be my obvious one where I'm like, Sam Raimi. He's directed the two best Spider-Man movies. But
I hate you. But okay, continue. Is there someone else? What about you,
Matthew
Daniel?
Vaughn.
Ooh, Matthew Vaughn. Okay.
Yeah.
What would he bring to it though? What kind of
style? And because I don't think Spider-Man should go too dark.
What does that mean, style? You gotta explain yourself. He brings style.
Well, the most interesting things about each trilogy or set of Spider-Man films is they all have a completely different fighting / web slinging / camera style. For example, like Raimi was really good with always moving the camera, and you know, like Raimi loves like his super zoom ins all of a sudden that, and my camera work like that, that should make Doctor Strange look beautiful. So I don't know. I think Matthew Vaughn, who's also a really good storyteller and could probably write it himself. Definitely could. I think he would bring a very interesting, you know, you watch the Kingsman movies, you see how interesting the camera work is and the fighting style is 100% unique.
I guess my question is, what is it going to be? Obviously, he has the capability to do whatever he wants, but what do you foresee as the tone? By foresee, I mean, what do you want to be? This is just fan making.
I would not go that much darker than what we're already getting. Like, okay. I wouldn't go Venom dark or Endgame dark.
Do you not think it depends on where we are in the MCU at that particular time, how far we are into the main big storyline?
I mean, it could. I mean, but at the end of the day, like they do a good job of, you know, making each movie stand alone and be its own thing, even if things are serious on one side of the spectrum. Like, you know, Civil War had happened, and then Thor Ragnarok came out very well, and then Ant-Man has its thing. So I don't think the tone of the MCU as a whole will affect any vision that a future director might have.
There's a potential. How about Edgar Wright coming back and actually getting to do finishing
his MCU? I thought about that.
Oh my God, that's the correct choice.
But I don't think he would do it.
No, I don't think so either. Control.
Certainly not commit to three, which is potentially what it could be.
That would be cool though. I can imagine him going like basically turning it into what Spider-Verse is, essentially, except in live action. That's what I would imagine he would have done, is essentially turning a live action Spider-Verse, making a live action Spider-Verse movie.
In style.
Because
we're already kind of getting Spider-Verse, supposedly.
Yes, in style and feel, not
and
necessarily.
Look, the colors in the Spider-Man movie done by him would be so beautiful, like after Baby Driver and stuff.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim, I mean, that's already a similar genre, Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, yeah, Scott Pilgrim was basically kind of that. But I'm trying to think, who else would I want other than Edgar Wright and Matthew Vaughn, who are great filmmakers?
I'm looking at my Blu-ray collection trying to think about it.
So top filmmakers today. Let's see.
He would never do it, but Christopher McQuarrie is just always a great writer director. He does his best stuff with Tom Cruise.
I think he's too freeform for this.
Because like he doesn't even have scripts done when he's doing his movies.
Yeah. I think
he's also a screenwriter though.
I mean, they probably just give him screenwriter credit because he's just making it up as he goes.
No, I mean, like, he's written, like, 10 scripts for Tom Cruise and only directed, like, 4. Like, and he was, like, the writer on the original X-Men and stuff. He's a writer first, and then he became a director recently.
You know who would be interesting? Alfonso Cuarón.
Mm,
that could be interesting.
Wow.
Hmm. Sorry, I'm thinking about what that movie could be in my head, and it could be, I guess my mind, too. It's difficult, because that guy makes a lot of different types of movies. So he could be kind of a chameleon, but it would be well made. It would definitely be well made. Anyway, sorry, I'm lingering. I'm just thinking about who else.
I would have said on here. 10 years ago, I would have said J.J. Abrams would be perfect.
I mean, but I still think he would be fine.
He'd be there because I was trying to think of like, who's the new Spielberg? And the closest person in looks to movies is J.J., I think.
And the strength for this one is that this time around, he would be working with essentially a control freak. So it
the opposite
would,
of...
They would be able to keep him on track, not on track, on tracks, so that he, you know, comes to some sort of actual conclusion. So J.J. Abrams, I think, would be good. I think it's one that people would be like, oh, fuck J.J. Abrams.
And then they'd watch the movie and be like, whoa.
Yeah, it'd be because fucking people, J.J. Abrams is a really, really talented director. I am very sorry, but he is. If you look at the actual filmmaking prowess he brought to the Star Wars franchise, oh my God. After, you know, George Lucas spent 3 movies just sitting a fucking camera on tripods and showing shots from a really far distance away as people walk down corridors, and compare it to the dynamic lighting and the kineticism that you get from this, the Force Awakens, it's night and day. Say what you will about the story, but he knows how to direct very well. And that's actually an element that I think that could be brought to this one. It's really, and he brought it to Star Trek too, bringing like a real sort of scrapiness to it that makes it feel like you're actually in a place, which I think could juxtapose well with what we usually get from the MCU in terms of everything kind of feeling just a little bit out of place because it's mostly done in plates and it's mostly done in green screen and plates and all that and CG backgrounds and all that. So it doesn't feel quite tangible, but the story is so good that we don't care. So I think I agree. I think he could be a good bet, but I think we'd also need to couple him with a good screenwriter.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they'd
be a better
great
co-writer than Rise of Skywalker for sure.
Yeah, so great. I think it's a great idea, Nick. And all you haters, you're like, no, fuck J.J. Abrams. Fuck you. He's a great filmmaker. He's so good.
I mean, he made the fourth best Star Wars movie, but it was called Star Trek.
Who's the guy from Mandalorian? Rick Famuyiwa?
Rick Famuyiwa? Yeah. He did Dope.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Which was good.
He also directed a couple of episodes of Mandalorian too, and I just think for it, and they looked great. They looked beautiful episodes. I do remember because I remember seeing the making of, and I remember which ones they were. But he's someone that is could fit in the machine that is Marvel and not necessarily be, you know, too upset about having to be have a little bit of control. Like you mentioned, the control freak that could be in charge. But he was also young enough in that sense and talented enough to put his own flavor on it. So I don't know what that tone would be, though. That's why I'm struggling to think about what the Spider-Man films would be and then matching the director to it or the other way around. It's quite a tough one. But I like what he did with The Mandalorian.
I would think of, actually, it depends how good The Flash is, but the IT director who's directing Flash. If Flash looks kind of like Andy a Spider-Man Machete. Movie at this point, and he's the goofiest character in the Justice League.
And, you know, along the same lines, kind of, Robert Rodriguez would be very interesting. I think he directed one of the best episodes of The Mandalorian so far.
Oh, the Boba Fett one?
The Boba Fett one. And I hated Boba Fett because of how useless he was and how much people liked him. I irrationally hated him. It was an irrational feeling because I think the character was fine. Yeah, he's showing freaking Nick is flashing his shirt at me of a picture of Boba Fett. Stupid.
My sister's fiance gave it to me as
I don't a give gift a fuck who gave it to you. His... No, but best episode. Well, as I was watching it, I was hating myself. I was like, oh shit, he's making me like Boba Fett. So I guess I have a reason to be excited about the Book of Boba Fett now. So, but yeah, he shot it with a lot of wide lenses, which I don't think any other episode used, which I thought was interesting, but it was cool. And I think he can really lump in that sort of rule of cool aspect to a Spider-Man story where it's just like, let's have this weird fucking thing happen. How? Ah, we'll figure it out. And then they'll figure it out and it'll be really weird, but it'll be kind of cool.
I dig it. I dig all these choices.
Yeah. So good list, folks. They may be, you know, obvious choices, but I think they're pretty solid. Anything else you all want to say about Spider-Man?
I'm good.
Nick,
And we have the other Spider-Man news.
Oh,
that's all I have to say about Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Oh, right. So actually, at one point I was like, ooh, perfect transition. But the other news has to do with the animated films. You know, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which was probably the best Spider-Man movie ever so far. It's up there. I think it is. I think it's the best Spider-Man movie for me. And it is. It was just fucking great. It came from producers Phil Lord and Chris Miller. It was totally unique. And we've all been excited to see what comes of the sequel. And we have a tentative 2022 release date, along with the title Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is kind of cool, but also it's like, isn't that we're kind of doing that in No Way Home. So it's weird how we're kind of almost treading the same ground, it seems like.
Well, that's more, I think, the problem of Marvel doing a live action one, Marvel Sony doing a live action. They're already copying the first one in a way, you know.
Yeah.
At least
I agree.
We're framing it that way in our brains, but Kyle and I talk about a lot. I still don't expect the other two Spider-Men to get more than 15 minutes total. I think it's going to mostly be villains versus Tom Holland, and we get little appearances by that way they don't feel too much like the Spider-Verse. But you actually gave me a quick idea. I know this is super obvious then, that Chris Miller and Philip Lord, that's their names, right?
No? Philip Lord? Phil Lord? No, you got it right, but it's just funny you called him Philip. It's Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
They should direct the next Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
Their live action shit is good. I love 21 and 22 Jump Street. And obviously their animation stuff is good for kids. Like they can do PG. So
yeah, they can do PG and PG-13 for sure.
Yeah, anyways, title's commenting. Fine.
Okay.
Kind of reminds me of like the Homecoming trilogy where they have to keep Spider-Verse in the title. Otherwise people won't know it's related.
Which is, I mean, yeah.
It is the brand of that franchise. That's the whole
everyone
point.
Everyone calls it, Spider-Verse is the name of the franchise. So that makes perfect sense. What about you, Danny? What do you think?
That's what I think. That noise I made.
I have a title for the third one already. Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Oh, I like that.
Boom, print it. Nick,
did you not like the first Spider-Verse movie, Danny?
Sorry, buddy?
Did you not like the first Spider-Verse movie?
I did. No, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I had the fortune to see it two or three times, actually, because I've got nephews that really enjoyed it. So I went, I really did like it. I'm just not... that I don't care about the title of the next one. I'm just looking forward to seeing the next one.
Okay.
That Fair was enough. My, like, you know, yeah, okay, we can pontificate about the title. Just make it a good film like the first one was.
All right. Let's see here. Moving on to the next story. Do you want to introduce this one, Nick, having to do with a certain Guardians of the Galaxy film?
Sure. As teased in the last Guardians of the Galaxy. Give me one moment. The end of Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2 had like 5 post-credit scenes, I believe. Maybe 4. Yeah. I think it was five.
And one of them
was the cocoon that is actually fairly accurate looking to what Adam the Warlock. When he first appeared in the comics, it was very similar. And then she even calls the pod Adam at the end. And so
I just imagine it going like Tony the Stark or Iron the Man.
I don't know, because it reminds me of Aragorn the Dragon from DC. But we now have our Adam Warlock. And James Gunn did confirm it, because it was started off as a rumor, then the bigger pieces picked it up, and he's like, here's what it says. As you guys know, I often strike down rumors. So welcome to the Guardians of the Galaxy, Will Poulter. He's an amazing actor and a wonderful guy. See you in a couple of weeks.
Will Poulter is an interesting choice. I know a lot of us probably think of him from We're the Millers, was the comedy movie he did with Jason Sudeikis and Jennifer Aniston.
Other interesting things too.
He was in a what the heck was that Black Mirror episode?
I remember that one.
What the heck was it called? It was the video game one.
Yeah.
Where he played the eccentric Wonderkin game developer. And he was very sort of like intense, and it actually there was a lot of charisma to him there that I wouldn't normally expect. And it's also interesting, he was originally supposed to play Pennywise the Clown for the It movies before it was taken over by
really
one of the Skarsgårds. And I think
he's in Bandersnatch, the Choose Your Own Adventure one. That's right.
Bandersnatch, that's it. I wanted to call it like Minderbach, but I have no idea what the heck that is.
Midsummer, Maze Runner.
That's the like Revenant, a new beer.
The Revenant's one of his biggest roles.
Oh, yeah. He was in The Revenant. Yeah.
And he's actually in a new series I just started last night on Hulu, A Dope Sick, which is about the opioid crisis told from the perspective of the heads of Purdue Pharma and a little doctor in the small town played by...
Does he play a pharma bro in that or something?
I don't know who he isn't yet. I just see it on his list.
I could imagine him as being like a freaking pharma bro. Basically, what's his name? That one douche.
I know who you're talking about.
You guys know who I'm talking about. Oh my God, what is his name?
Let's not give his name recognition.
Fair enough.
No, but the two other, people have been wanting Zac Efron, because like he's supposed to be a perfect human being as part of the point, which alien, you know.
Zac Efron.
I can't remember the perfect human being. I can't remember both of them, but one of the other two finalists was the guy from Bridgerton that like stole the spotlight.
I never saw Bridgerton.
And he's more of someone you do look at and you're like, that is the perfect human being.
Yeah, well, Poulter is definitely interesting in that sense, but I could even imagine James Gunn sort of making a joke about it. It's like, I thought you're supposed to be the perfect human being. It's like, I'm perfect to them, okay?
Plus, he is tall, which fits it with the other Sovereign. The Sovereigns are the
is
one
he tall?
Who made him.
How tall is he?
6-something.
He seems like he's short. I imagine.
That's what
he's
I thought
short.
Too.
Yeah. There you go. What do you think of this news, Danny? Any thoughts about Adam the Warlock being cast?
I do think it's an interesting choice considering who the character and what the character's meant to be. But knowing James Gunn, and after you just said Jammer, I definitely think that's the way they'll go. There'll be reference to the way the look doesn't quite match the perfect human being, so to speak. I think that'll probably be the kind of thing that's referenced throughout the movie. I can imagine Star-Lord referencing that a lot, and so Drax as well, quite often commenting on.
Drax.
Do you think he'll be a villain? I'm thinking he'll be a villain for part of the movie, and then
probably
come together with them for a bigger threat at the end. Because he's being built by the people who hate them because they stole the batteries or whatever, shot down all their ships.
I'm curious about how where this fits into the timeline.
Oh, James Gunn said that today. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and Christmas special are modern day MCU.
Which is interesting because it means that they built this thing 10 years ago. And so what's he
Maybe
been doing for 10
years?
Snapped.
I don't know. Maybe they'll have to And what's most interesting about how they got to utilize him is in the comics, he's so powerful because he's the one who has the soul stone in his forehead, and he actually eats souls and stuff. And also his biggest appearances in the comics were like Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet.
Because mm-hmm. like, his main Infinity rival Gauntlet.
Is Thanos.
Him and Silver Surfer were like the conduits. I would compare them in the same
group. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm interested to see how it looks. Give me that initial production photo. I'm also curious of what he looks like.
Do you think the Boss Logic? I'm sure already has one.
Well, that's not official. That's a Boss Logic mock-up.
Do you think this is the character James Gunn was talking about when he said he's bringing in one of the best Marvel characters ever? Or do you think?
No. When did he say that?
A few weeks ago.
No, because we knew this guy was coming.
Yeah.
Years ago. I think it's gonna be someone else.
Cool.
All right. Anything else before we talk the game of squids?
Squid. Let's
talk Squid Games. Buddy.
Squid Game.
I know that.
I had a friend. I was talking to a friend from high school yesterday, and he's like, "Have you watched the Squid Games?" And I was just like, "It's called Squid Game. Get it right. You got it wrong twice. You added a the, and then you made it plural. It's called Squid Game. You fool."
Jonesy did put Squid Games in the title of last week's episode.
Oh no!
Correcting it.
No, can you fix it? I didn't
bring it up. It doesn't matter.
No.
Most people call it that. I think that was just many hits spelling it wrong.
Why did you let it happen? We look like idiots.
Nah, we do if people could see us anyway.
Yeah, but now we just sound like idiots as well.
This is the worst day of my life.
Spoiler free, not even doing the plot or a Twitter review. Would you recommend or would you not recommend? I have recommended it to everyone I fucking know except for my parents.
My headphones are going haywire, so hang on.
Uh-oh. What would you say, Danny? Recommend or not recommend?
Oh, that's a real shitty question. How dare you ask me? How many episodes were there in the show? 9, right?
9.
Yeah.
If you'd asked me that after 8, I would have said, yes, I'd recommend it. After seeing all 9, I'm torn.
Interesting. I would, as I was saying, I'd recommend it to everyone on the planet before it was even a big hit. Like, I watched it weekend number 1, like Stranger Things just happened into it. I don't recommend it to my parents. My mom doesn't like blood. I would recommend it to my dad, but they watch everything together.
Otherwise, yeah, I would recommend it to people who like thrillers.
Yeah, but it's captured such a bigger audience than just people who like thrillers, it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like a phenomenon. It's their biggest show.
It's the biggest show ever on the biggest streaming platform in the world, so it's big.
Been talked about probably longer than Stranger Things first season, maybe not as long as The Tiger King yet. But it's pop culture worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, this is your opportunity. Netflix, I've criticized Netflix in the past for not franchising their series or taking advantage of them as franchise. Now is the time. Get us some of those pop figures made, get those vinyl figures made, get that whole make freaking Squid Games the start, Squid Games Millennium, Squid Games X. And all of these different versions.
They are doing a video game, they announced. They've been trying to get into video games, and they're doing a Squid Game video game.
There you go. Netflix, you need this. You need this so that in 10 years, when you relaunch your service, you can relaunch it, and we can all be nostalgic about Squid Game when it first came out. Make Squid Game in Disney style, from the 90s Disney style. Basically do what they did at the end of 22 Jump Street, except with Squid Game. You know, we're having all the sequels, all the iterative sequels. Do what AMC is doing and drill The Walking Dead into the ground and basically make it so that by the end of it, we hate it. We hate Squid Game with every fiber of our being and wish it nothing but ill will. If you haven't done that, you've failed, Netflix.
I think they're doing pretty good on the merchandise so far. And now I picture it. The three pop figures that are super easy is they're all the exact same. No, you probably put a gun in one of their hands, but you have your triangle, circle, and your square pop figures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, the soldiers are the spoilers from here on out. Soldiers are, what is it? Managers are squares, soldiers are triangles, and circles are workers. Yeah. Workers. So you just put a little machine gun in the triangle guy's hand, and then boom, that's three super easy pops. Yeah, how did you get? Okay, let's talk spoilers.
So first of all, I would recommend this. Like I said, to people who like thrillers, I think this was really good. I think it was it dragged out a little bit. The episodes were a bit long. I think they could have been cut down some of them by 5 minutes or so. So not a whole lot, but
did you notice their varying lengths? I didn't even notice my first watch through. Like one of them was only like 35 minutes or something.
That's, I mean, they're all around 50 minutes, 55 minutes, but like the second
some are over an hour, some are closer to 40.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's par for the course.
I think it works
these days. Completely. I mean, Ted Lasso, season two of Ted Lasso is like 30, 30, 30, 35, 46, 48, 50. So it's it's just that's the reality we're living in now, which is cool. It's just making
I thought you always wanted that reality of tell it as long as you, even if you don't agree, let's say that.
Well, yeah, I think I think it could have been shorter, but the fact that they're making them as long as they think they should be, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but the filmmaker has the, like, is now that we're free from the shackles of even HBO, like, it doesn't.
But I mean, conversely,
make, you don't have to make 30 an hour long shows anymore.
Conversely, though, I do feel like it's made a lot of shows longer than they need to be because they're not constricted. They could be like, oh, I can include every scene that I want. And I'm like, do you need that scene? I don't think you do. But I think all the scenes were good. It was just some of them were just dragged out a little bit more. And I couldn't tell if that was me just being like, tell me what happens. I want to see what happens. Or if it was them just being just a little too dragged out.
So I guess what was your guys' favorite game?
Favorite game. So here's the thing that I thought was interesting about Squid Game. Most of the games were not fun to watch. They weren't spectacles. They were people hunched over on the ground and shit. Marbles. And it was just weird. Like the marbles and then like the honeycomb thing. I was just like, who thought this was a good idea for a terrifying game? Who's like who's paying billions of dollars or millions? Who's betting millions of dollars to see these guys freaking hunch over a honeycomb and scrape away at the corners or the edges? Like, who's paying to see this? You know, Red Light, Green Light, I think had like a high, like, oh, this is a spectacle to watch. And then, of course, you had other games that were better. Two of the other two of them were good. Tug of War, I think, was my favorite, especially how it played out. And then the Glass Bridge was probably my second favorite. That was great. That was really good.
The marbles one, though, punches the biggest emotion, I feel, out of all.
That was the most depressing episode ever.
Like, that's the twist where it's like, oh, you have to beat the person you're playing. So you shouldn't have chosen someone you love, like the husband and wife.
Right. And I was, like I said, I was talking to my high school friend the other day, and I was like, oh, I'm only on episode, I'm not all the way through yet, but I've watched the most depressing episode. He's like, oh, you watched the marbles episode. I'm like, yep, that was the worst episode to go to bed on. And that's exactly what it was. Like, that episode happened, I was just like, I feel like crying. This is depressing. And then I had to go to bed because I had work the next day. So, yeah, it was just heart-wrenching to watch. Though, it is really cool how it kind of got flipped on its head a bit because of the actual ending of the show, revolving around the origin of the games. And specifically, contestant or player number one, who turns out is the mastermind of the whole thing and essentially was playing the game because he wanted to feel something, which is fucking people and your overindulgences. Come on, you're better than this. Anyway, I just like going looking back at the previous episodes, how in the first one, Red Light, Green Light, when he's like laughing as he's going, it's like, oh, he's genuinely like, oh my God, I'm alive for the first time in my life. This is so great. And then, you know, of course, the marbles part where he, you know, was pretending he was feigning insanity at different parts, partly, I'm sure, to fuck with the main character, but also to give him an edge so that, because he probably liked him. He liked him and he didn't want him to die. So he essentially gave him a win. And I remember thinking,
which also gets him out of the game. He could never survive.
Right. But I couldn't tell in that episode. I was like, was he faking it because he was going crazy, but then at the end it made it seem like, oh, you're just tricking your friends. Is that what you would do? And I was like, wait, so are you losing your memory or not? I wasn't sure if he was like half in, half out, but no, it was clear at that point by the end that, oh, he was faking it the whole time and was just controlling the narrative, so to speak, which was great. Like the fact that they were able to make me look back at those episodes and they don't feel disingenuous. They feel like they're locked in place. And the other great moment was when they were actually in the dorms and that fight was breaking out and they were killing each other. And he stood up on top of one of the bunks and talked about how scared he was and he was acting sort of senile. And then it stopped. Mm-hmm. And it made it clear, like, oh, that was basically the order for them to stop it, which is also awesome. So it just, everything fit in really well.
There's so much there upon rewatching it. You know, like I got compared it to Fight Club before, where it's like when you know the twist, you're like, oh shit, there's a clue, there's a clue, there's a clue. Like one of the if you look at people, obviously from websites have broken it down. He doesn't have the same green glow around him that everyone else does during red light, green light. He almost like he's not being sensed at all.
Oh, like from the, oh, interesting. So like when they see it detect the, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone around him is green and lit up. And even the person closest to him who's right behind him is not, because it's almost like that's the safe zone. And let's see.
What, yeah, when it goes a bit crazy, when there's lots of people being shot and her head, the doll's head is spinning around, there's mm-hmm. a scene where she's the screen includes the old guy on it, and everyone around him has either got a green square or a red square if they're about to get shot, but he's got no square at all, which means he's not even registered as part of the game. Wow. So I'm guessing he hasn't got a chip in his neck, because that's where they put the chips, right? They kept scanning people's necks when they died. So I don't think he had a chip. So yeah, that even in that is a clue that he wasn't registered. So even if he moved during the red light, green light, they wouldn't have shot him because he wouldn't have got caught.
That's fantastic. And yeah.
Though he did, I mean, it doesn't look like he's protected every game. Like maybe they would just shot him off camera away from other people if he failed the honeycomb. But remember, he gives the main character credit for licking it and coming up with that strategy. But and also, obviously, the tug of war one. I mean, throughout the show, he's like, these are my favorite games as a kid. Like, yada, yada, yada. The tug of rope one, he knows the trick to win. And he's not in the same locks.
Yeah.
And he's not in the same locks as everyone else.
It's really?
His locks, he could just clip open.
Oh,
the whole team gets pulled under.
That's so interesting, because I was wondering, I was like, I thought as I was watching, I was like, he was actually in jeopardy and he was just like going for it because fuck it, I ain't got nothing to, like, I'm rich, I'm dying, I could do whatever I want, it doesn't matter. But apparently he was still putting fail-safes in for himself.
And I don't think he's in, I think he's completely in his right mind. Yes, he has a tumor that he talks about even in the final episode. I don't think there's any dementia at all. The first time they ask him his name, he doesn't give it because I don't know why they would connect it, but he's like hesitant to give his name when they're exchanging names. In the scene where he pisses his pants, there's an empty water bottle right next to him on the bed. Like there's a whole bunch. It's like I kept waiting for my roommate to figure it out before it happened, even though I didn't. He didn't know until the very end.
Yeah, there's. It's very
his
subtle.
House. That whole room is actually designed off of his neighborhood. Like he's not some guy with dementia being like, oh, my house is over here.
Yeah.
And then obviously he has to let the other guy win, even though they become friends over that, because I don't think there is a way he could have cheated the bridge game.
And that's why they pulled him out?
I think that's why he let himself lose, and also because he really liked
456. I mean,
You
could have faked the bridge game. They could have just given him the way to go, the path.
That's true, and put him last.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to put him first, otherwise everyone would make... Yeah. I'm just afraid he couldn't jump. The thing about the bridge is you have to still jump quite a distance between the glass panels. You're not just stepping onto the next one.
That's true.
I mean, we're like, I don't even think we can make that jump.
But this show is depressing, man. It was such a cynical ending. It's just like he won, but his friend killed himself. But his crazy psychopath friend. And then like, oh, his mom died. I'm like, really? He can't even save his mom. He can't even do, like, it's like nothing good happened, except for at the end, he decides, I guess, try to stop it from happening again. But yeah, I wish they'd given us more victories. I wish his mom lived, but I guess it can motivate him to go back to the games. It's just really depressing and cynical. I wish there was something that was more satisfying.
He should have got on that plane. He should have got on that fucking plane. The reason he was playing that game was for his daughter. And he was 5 feet away from seeing her. And after spending a year feeling sorry for himself after he came out of the games with all that money, forgetting his best friend or his friend, the promise he made his friend to look after his mum, the promise he made that girl to look after her brother, forget all that. Forget the promise he made to his fucking daughter. He pissed around for a year, then kidnapped a kid and gave it to the grandmother.
He had hardcore PTSD. PTSD. I've never been through that.
You're making excuses for him now. I think that was a shit. He should have got on that fucking plane.
I don't know. I think it's easy for us to armchair quarterback someone after they've spent, you know, several days in and around death, actively involved in killing people and essentially being treated as less than human and expecting that you're going to come out there with some sort of logical frame of mind, which you can't. It's like it's all you. It changes you.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you wouldn't get Matt affected, but this is a TV show. I think he could have got on that plane and the second season could have been someone else. Or he could have come back from America, or he could have been in American's version of it. He could have got a card while he was in America. I think everything he went through, if he was then going to change after a year and seeing the old man triggered something that made him realize he should get his shit together, rescuing the kid and taking him to the grandma and all that, he's getting his shit together, should have been getting on that plane to go and see his daughter. That should have been the last
thing. We all wish he should have done that. We all wish he would have kept his promises, and we all wish he would have gone on that plane.
Even the front man wished that, where he's like, 456. Yeah. He's like, get on that plane. Is that what you didn't like about it?
Yeah, the ending.
Just the very ending? Was the rest of the episode okay, or you just didn't like the final decision?
Well, I think when it got to the old man coming back, I mean, wow, okay, that was cool. We didn't see that coming, but he didn't really show his motivations well enough for me. I wasn't quite really sure why the old man was doing that to all these other people. I think it seemed like a bit of a rush way of, we have a twist, but we're not quite sure how we're going to actually explain that twist. So this is what we'll do. But like I just said, those are the reasons I didn't like it. I'm totally with Jammer that a situation like that would have fucked you up. But I think it would have been a better way to end it, with him sorting his life out, getting on that plane, and then the sequel bringing him back or something like that. But for him to turn around, the whole thing just felt really, oh, you bastards. Like Jammer said, it was really depressing and it was really miserable. And I don't like depressing and miserable endings in shows and movies. So it did leave a sour taste in my mouth for the rest of the show, unfortunately. I will recommend it, but I will not tell anybody anything about it and then be keen to ask them what they thought when they've watched episode 9.
Don't even tell people there's a twist. My roommate told his brother there's a twist, and so his brother figured it out.
No, I wouldn't do that. No, you're right. I say, please do watch 3 episodes, see how you feel. If you watch all of it, tell me what you think. That would be it. Yeah. But I'm with you, Jammer. The guy would be messed up, but I guess I just wanted a neat box with a nice bow and then a ribbon.
As a viewer, you're hoping for that little victory, you know, that little something that makes you feel. I can understand that. Like, I guess for me, I would agree personally. I wish, but at the end of the day, at the same time, I think it's still a well-told story, and I understand why they did what they did, especially since it's leading into a sequel. It's not what I would have preferred, but it's a valid way to go. And I'm sure for a lot of people who have that darker taste, it works for them. Because I won't say it's bad. I'll just say that it was the ending itself I did not care for, because I wanted to go to bed feeling happy. And I didn't go to bed feeling happy.
Hey, that
I
one homeless guy got helped sad. Out.
What's in the box? It's one of those endings. What's in the box?
That was the smallest victory, is that guy getting helped out.
Yeah. Let me see. The creator has said 2 things about the sequel, or next season rather.
I'd heard it could be a prequel. I'm not sure I feel
about really
that.
I hadn't heard that. That'd be very, I would watch that too.
I don't, I
heard
like that
it would be about,
like, they have more mysteries that they want to dive into. I want to see the sequel.
It won't be from the contestants' point of view. It'll be from like the Korean police point of view / 456 probably leading some kind of secret investigation. And he also said this yesterday, which is the best part. I don't know, it could go either way. He's like, I'm very much listening to fan recommendations for what I should write into the next season.
Interesting.
Like, I very much like want to know what fans want to see.
I kind of like that. That's kind of cool.
Until it turns into a Star Wars situation.
All of us deciding that we want, all of us wanting Robin to die. It's like that all over again.
Yeah. I will say, there's another great theory out there that I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on. Depending which envelope you choose says whether you'll be a contestant or an employee. You know, it's like choose your color, red or blue. Some people think that the people who are the employees are also people who played that game. But since they chose red, they're working for them and making money. They're not risking their lives as much.
I would like to see it more from the perspective of the workers. I thought it was cool we got some insight with the cop, but I'd be open to seeing like the journey and what the eventual hope, the payoff is for this role as
like
a worker.
What do they get out of it? Because they're also in danger a lot. Like, take off your mask, you get shot. Like, cheat, you get shot. Like,
I also got the impression they were brainwashed somehow. I don't know what made me think that, but I got the impression they were being controlled in some way. But then when we saw the episode with the ones that were making a bit of extra money on the side by selling organs, then clearly they weren't controlled to that point. They weren't controlled by a microchip or anything. So I agree. I think that could be a really cool way. What brought those guys there? And what kind of situation were they in, where they were being mindless, almost mindless, just automatons and told what to do and just shooting people? Because they were quite ruthless when it was time to pull the trigger. No, there was no shaking of hands or second thoughts. They would just be right, you lost, bang.
So or maybe former contestants.
Or I was gonna say the first year you play, I mean the first year you work there, you are only trusted to be a worker or whatever. Worker. And then maybe you get a raise. Like once you can prove you can shoot a person in the head without remorse, it's like, oh, you get promoted to assault. Well, no, even the workers shoot people in the head, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I thought they had pistols. Yeah.
I don't remember.
I thought that was a very interesting rumor.
It's cool. I think there's a lot of great directions you can go. I want to see the Squid Game anime. I want to see the Squid Game D&D game. I want to see the Squid Game card, the deck building card game, Squid Game.
The game. Remember.
The game, the movie.
Well, hold on, Jammer. If we have those, if we have multiple versions of it, like a Dungeons and Dragons and a card game and stuff, would they not then be the Squid Games?
Oh, that's cute. That is cute. Oh,
a little button like on that. The end.
But yeah, I think Netflix. I'm obviously kidding. I don't want this much Squid Game, but I just like the idea of Netflix making a franchise out of this because they need them.
You can sell 456 pops, different pops. They're almost identical and just have different numbers on their check.
Just have all the main characters on them. That'd be the ultimate collector's item. They just have like rows of all 456 of them, and maybe have them have limited runs of like 2,000 each, and then watch just the prices skyrocket on eBay.
Nice game.
Well, one of them would only have a run of 100 each or something. Number 273, they only made 50.
Yeah, because no one cares. You gotta have your one, your 101, which is the bully, your 456, and I can't remember the other main characters' numbers.
111.
I'm amazed you remember those.
69,
96. Oh, 69, though. That was, yeah, 69 was the couple. the husband was 69.
But yeah, it's just, there's a lot of good potential there. Listen to this, Netflix. There's lots of great advertising and marketing shit here that's being spilled.
And it's obviously very good social commentary, yada, yada, yada. You know, like, this is great. It's not like
capitalism.
Yeah, capitalism, the 99% versus the 1% betting on people like horses. And also, but what else I gotta say? It wasn't even related to that. I don't remember.
I don't know, but we should wrap things up.
Yeah.
Well, anything else? Any last thoughts about Squid Game, Danny?
No, I will recommend it, but I won't tell people why.
Nick.
Yeah, I loved it. It's probably gonna be one of my favorite shows by the end of my life, like top 50 or something. Depends when I die.
Until you watch Ted Lasso, damn it.
It's certainly my favorite show of the year. And I remember what I was gonna say.
By the end of my life, that is funny.
I will say this, and I hope they don't, because it's already been a hit in America. Don't you dare remake this with English actors and like.
Oh, they will.
The thing is, there's no point to. Well, what I read this figure yesterday.
One in four. Just a spinoff. Of like a spinoff that it takes
Squid
place
Game
in America.
That could work. As long as it's not a remake.
It takes place in the same world. It's just a different Squid Game story.
I'm okay with that. Or even London or something. But yeah.
Like, oi, you going to die?
Sorry. That's your best one yet. You should leave it on
I
that,
love
Jabba.
The show. And I love that voice. So.
Cut the check. All right, well, thank you, dear listeners, for listening. If you want more of us, feel free to add us on social media. Of course, make sure you check out the Genreverse Podcast Network, which is now, I think, the official name of the LRM Online Podcast Network. Genreverse is what we're going by these days. Nick, where can people find you on Twitter?
At GeekyNickDoll on Twitter. And then I also do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem with Kyle.
Danny, where can people find you?
You can find me at the butcher's looking at meat.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter under the name Jam. I fucked up. You can find me on Twitter at Jam the Writer, and my books under the name AJ Serna on Amazon and Audible. And that is it. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission accomplished.